on today's Tech Babble, why using manual focus can seem kind of hard.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. My name is, of course, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'm your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. There you can find all the contact information, including my email address, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. 1-877-763-3246 is the phone number if you just want to use the phone, no problem there. You can always comment directly below this video, either on YouTube or over on trinitydigitalmedia.com. That's fine. And my Twitter handle is Paul Allen Cliff. So those are all ways that you can get in touch with me, ask your questions, leave your comments, what have you. ChurchTechCast.com network shows are all generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head on over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulallencliff. And you can partner with me to support the show. Every little bit helps, and there are fun prizes depending on how much you're interested in helping out. So head on over and do that today. So let's talk about manual focus versus autofocus. I actually got quite a good deal on this lens right here because the autofocus was broken. Now, the original owner of this lens, that made him or her unhappy, but I'm a videographer, and as a videographer, I don't really trust manual focus. And as it turns out, the camera that I was using it for, autofocus in video doesn't work on this particular camera. I mean, you can autofocus before a video, you can autofocus after a video, but during, not so much. And that is a bit of a problem. So it was no big deal that I use this particular camera. In fact, it's got a little slider here. Autofocus, manual focus. I just moved it over to manual, and that's the way I leave it. So how do I do that? Well, first off, this is something you should know about focus. When it comes to a zoom lens like this one, this is the Canon 18-55 2.8, I believe. No, 3.5-5.6 image stabilization lens, which is, this is just the kit lens. What you want to do is you want to start with it as wide as you can, get your shot, and then zoom in all the way. Once you're zoomed in all the way, you take the focus ring and you focus. And once you've focused, then you can zoom back out as far as you need to get your appropriate shot. As long as the distance between the front of the lens and the subject does not change, you will not, you won't lose focus. Whether you zoom in or zoom out, that shouldn't affect focus whatsoever, as long as everything's as it should be, and the distance between the subject and the lens stays the same. Now, with that said, there are a couple of things that can make it seem not so easy. First off, if you focus while it's wide and then you zoom in, you'll notice, wait, it's not so much in focus like I thought it was. Secondly, if you have a wide aperture, so if the opening that the light goes in is wide, then it's going to be more difficult to focus than if the place that the light goes in is narrow. This is actually a trick. If you wear glasses like I do, and you find that things are a little blurry, you know, because your glasses you've forgotten them something or somewhere or something, you can actually take your fingers and make a hole between your index finger and your thumb, and actually make that a pretty small hole, and look through it. And when you look through it, you'll find the smaller the hole, of course, the less light that it lets in, but also the light seems to be in focus. And the reason for that is a wider hole, light can come in from all directions, whereas a smaller hole, light can only come in basically straight forward, so in one direction. And that light is in focus because it's directly from what you're looking at. Likewise, it works this exact same way in a camera. This is a 50 millimeter prime lens that I have on my DSLR here, and you might be able to see that as I turn this ring back here, let's try and get that up close for those of you there we go. If you're watching the video, you can see that as I turn this ring, there's a hole that opens and closes. So when it opens wide, that is a smaller f-stop number. When it goes small, that's a larger number. So this is actually counterintuitive. You might think, well, shouldn't a big hole be a big number and a small hole be a small number? I'll help you remember it the way that I remember it. You know in a fraction how there's the number on top called the numerator and the number on bottom, which is called the denominator? If the top number is the same, but the bottom number is bigger, that's a smaller piece. So, for example, 1/4 is a bigger amount than 1/16, even though 16 is a bigger number. So you see how that works? So think about f-stop numbers that way. So I have an f4 and I have an f16. F4 is even though it's a smaller number, it's a wider opening than f16, which is a larger number and a smaller opening. So that's the way that I think about it, is the bottom number on a fraction. So if you have the lens set to f16, that's a smaller opening, a smaller aperture, more stuff is going to be in focus and it's going to be easier to focus because of what we call depth of field. So depth of field is how much is in focus from front to back. So you can actually, if you've got a really wide opening on your camera, you could potentially, in the right circumstances, get it to where the person's eyes and their nose are not in focus at the same time. That's a very, very shallow depth of field, like an inch, inch and a quarter, something like that. Very, very shallow. It's possible to do. So in that case, it would be very difficult to focus because the person's feet could stay planted firmly, but they could lean forward just a little bit and be out of focus, and then lean back just a little bit and be out of focus, and only be in focus when they're perfectly in the center. That's a problem. So that's one reason why sometimes manual focus isn't so good. So if you can, it's actually easier to focus. Now, it's not as artistic, it's not as beautiful, but it's easier to focus with a smaller aperture. Let me give you a perfect example of how this trick has been used in Hollywood. You've seen the Lord of the Rings movies. You've seen The Hobbit. They use several tricks, but one of them is called forced perspective. And that is that you can put someone way far in the back and someone up close, and the person up close, of course, looks bigger than the person in the back. But unless you have a very small aperture on the camera, they're not going to be in focus. So what you want to do is you have to use a small aperture. Well, then you've got a problem. small aperture means small amount of light. So how do you fix that? A lot of light. You add in a bunch of light. So the classic example of this is a Disney movie from the 60s called Darby O'Gill and the Little People. It stars a very young Sean Connery, and it's all about leprechauns. So, you know, Disney movie, very fun, but it's live action. So when I first saw this, I was probably in elementary school, and I wondered how they took regular-sized people and made them look so small. Well, there was back when I watched the Disney Channel as a child, they had all sorts of Disney movies, all sorts of how it's done kind of movies that went with those, and they explained what had happened. As they were doing this, they used so much light that in Los Angeles, they actually knocked out some power in a small radius in part of Los Angeles because they were using so much power to make so much light. They needed so much light so that they could have a very teeny tiny aperture so that the main actor could be close to the camera and then all the leprechaun actors could be very far away from the camera, therefore appearing like they were much smaller than they actually were in real life. So that is called forced perspective, and that's why you might need to make a smaller aperture. But if you don't have enough light, that's where it gets a little iffy. So you need to figure out how to solve this problem. And so that, I guess that's how you think about it, is you can have a situation where you have a camera very close to your pastor and you have trouble keeping the pastor in focus because the aperture is too wide and therefore the depth of field is too shallow. Also, another thing that affects this is zoom. So while you would think that just getting closer and zooming in will give you the same shot, it actually won't. There is a lot of things that a zoom lens does with the light and how it bends it, and we can do some pretty cool tricks with that. But another thing that it does is as you're zoomed in to your subject, it also makes, here I'll set the lens down, it also affects the depth of field. So if you're zoomed in all the way to your subject and you step back, you might have the same size image as you would if you were zoomed out and stepped forward. The subject would be the same size between those two shots. But you're going to have a shallower depth of field when the zoom is zoomed in all the way. So that's something else to consider. If you're too zoomed in too close to the pastor and you need more light, that's just a recipe for having problems with your focus. So really, there are a few things to consider. First, zoom in all the way and focus. Second, make sure that the distance between your subject and your lens does not change. If that changes, focus might change, depending on aperture. If you have a tiny aperture, focus, it might take a lot for the focus to change. If you have a wide aperture, a small f number, let's say you have f1.8, for example. In that case, very small distances will cause a change in focus. Whereas if you're shooting at f16, someone could walk all over the stage and their focus would never change. So that's also something to consider when it comes to focus. Now, another trick that you can use, if you've got a professional lens that has the markings on it, this is a classic Vivitar lens that I use sometimes. It's a 50mm prime, and it takes very beautiful video. But it has markings for distance. So in the old days, when you were shooting on a film camera, a motion picture film camera, you really didn't have a good way to look at what the film was seeing. But you could judge, based on the measurements on the lens, how far you were from your subject. You'd take out a tape measure, say, oh, I'm 15 feet away. Move the lens to where you're at 15 feet on the lens, and then you would be in focus. So that's something else for you to consider when it comes to focus and how you use focus to illustrate different things and put emphasis on different things and ultimately go out and change eternity. So until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Don't forget to subscribe to these videos either on YouTube or at TrinityDigitalMedia.com/subscribe. If you've subscribed on iTunes and you like this, head on over to TrinityDigitalMedia.com/iTunes reviews. Click there and you can leave an iTunes review. No problem whatsoever. And share this with all your friends and family. Till next time.